Hello, and welcome to the Astro City Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting Kurt Busiek's Astro City series. In this Astro City Spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing Astro City number 52, Astro City That Was Then special number 1, and the Hollow Blocks story from Comics for Ukraine, which was a crowdfunding project from 2022 that was supporting the Ukraine relief efforts for the war that started back then. James, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, John?
I am doing all right. Still a little tired, but I'm doing all right. And this is the final chunk of stories for Astro City.
Yeah. It's kind of surreal because I think we've been recording on Astro City specifically for at least a couple of years, I think.
I think 3 years thereabouts. I'd have to check when that first episode went up, but I think that was July 2023.
Which is an insanely long time to spend with, I've spent longer than that with comic series, but recording with you specifically, talking about anything, you know, with this and the Warlord Spotlight. We've never done long form until we did these two.
Yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, with Warlord, that was over and done with long since when we started. So we weren't expecting there to be like an issue 134 coming out.
Correct.
Astro City hasn't released any new material since we've started these episodes.
Which is insane because as far as we know, it's still a viable thing. And it was kind of surreal when I was reading the That Was Then special talking about plans for Astro City moving forward and things they have on the horizon and coming to see how none of that came to fruition yet.
Yeah, I think the only thing, I forget when the first Metro book was released, but all six of those got released while we were doing this.
Yeah, they did. They did. I remember they did the advertisement for the Opus Edition.
Opus Edition, yeah.
Yeah, which is their version of the Omnibus. And then the Metro books came out and the Opus Edition even went into hiatus. It just was never to see the light of day again.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's up with that. I know there's stuff going on that's causing some issues with Astro City coming out or has in the past, but I still hold out hope we'll get more of it at some point.
Me too.
I just am also going to be realistic that I'm not expecting it anytime soon.
I hope so too, because not to make it sound morbid, I'm really not trying to go in that direction, but they're not spring chickens, the creators of these projects. And life happens. And we just had Jerry Conway die.
Yeah.
A legend in the industry. And it's like, there's another one. And I'm not saying anything is health related. I don't know anything about what's going on in their lives, but it makes me worry when people are up there in age, they've been doing it a while, and they say they got an idea, whether it's George R. R. Martin with his A Song of Ice and Fire, or here with Astro City and Busiek, that something could happen and there was good intention and it's just gone forever.
Well, and even age aside, I remember reading the Batman Adventures comic that was based on the animated series that Bruce Timm and Paul Dini did. And I was really enjoying the comic, and Mike Parabek was the artist on it.
Mm.
And he passed away really young.
Yeah, really young.
So with like Jerry Conway and stuff, he was 70, 80-ish, somewhere in there. I forget exactly how old.
I think it was mid-70s, yeah.
Mid-70s, yeah. So, I mean, as you get older, the odds of a doctor saying, yeah, you're going to be great for another 30, 40 years, that diminishes. And then it gets down to where it's like, if they're saying you're going to be great for 5 or 10, you're very happy.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know all the where's and why for's of any of these creators' health and stuff, but there's no guarantee you always have a tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So that just creeps into the thought. And it makes me thankful for what we do have, but I feel like I've come to a realization and to an acceptance of this is it until something else comes out.
Yeah, at the very least, they can be very proud of what they've done.
Yeah.
Because all said and done, it's 2,776 pages, all of which Kurt Busiek wrote, most of which Brent Anderson drew. And when you figure that's spread out over 30-ish years, keeping the creative team together is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really is. I think that was not every issue was done by Brent Anderson didn't do every bit of art in here. And Alex Ross, I think, did all the covers and Kurt Busiek did all the writing. But he did so much of it. It's damn near impossible to see a group stay together like that in modern day comics. You just don't see that. Even when we think of the long runs like Peter David on the Hulk or whatever it is, there was a plethora of artists, just different guys always coming into the picture. It was not one person.
Well, and they were only about, I think, 360 pages done by the other artists.
Yeah.
So we had Graham Nolan, Tom Grummett, Jesus Manero, Joe Infernari, Gary Chandler, Ron Randall, Carmen Canero, and Matt Clark, Rick Leonardi, and Mike Norton. So really only a handful of other people across, I think it was 15 of the 115 different installments of Astro City. Now that's including the 8-page story we'll talk about later from the comics from Ukraine and a similar one for the 9/11, one of those efforts that was done.
Yeah. So the amount of time that Brent Anderson spent on this is probably as much, if not more, than Busick, honestly, because art takes longer than...
Oh, absolutely more. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying Kurt could just knock one of these out in an afternoon, but hey, if he's on a roll, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't think it's going to take him the same amount of time to write the 24 pages as it took Brent to draw them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been a fun ride. That's what I will say. I'm glad we did it together and we had fun doing it, you know, recording these with you. But how did you feel with this being essentially the capstone of everything we read? How does issue 52 sit with you? I thought it was interesting. I'm like, he had to have ended at 52 with a purpose. DC in 52. I'm like, and they're showing the covers like the Infinite Crisis or Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Right. The Earth's kind of receding back, the ghost image of his wife and whatnot. And the title, and in the end being the title, it's like, yeah, he tried to land the ending here.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the issue. I liked how we got to see kind of how Astro City handles kind of a crisis response thing, and flat out, they don't have an army of responders.
Yeah.
Because they usually don't have that big of an issue, but I mean, it's Astro City. They're going to have some that are huge. So I liked that, but I felt this issue seemed to cover the same sort of ground that the last two did.
It did.
It was good, but three issues? I mean, come on. And the scene at the support group where it's like, are you going to believe Mike or not? That was the scene I remembered out of the whole story.
With the hangman there? Yeah. I remember reading that when that came out. It burns an image into your mind when you see that. Him in the all dark black suit hanging there. But I thought it was, like you said, it felt like the amount of material we got that he originally, and I'm not saying this was the plan, he had enough to do issue 50 and just kind of wrap it up. Hey, 50 issues, here we go. And then it almost felt decompressed, like retelling the same story over and over to get it to 52.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it felt. And so it wrapped up with the group believing in him, and that was nice. But this was so decompressed and so different than anything in Astro City. And in my opinion, not in a good way. It wasn't horrible. It's just like a little bit decompressed, a little bit boring.
I would say it was decompressed in an almost ironic way.
Yeah, we're moving into modern comics.
Well, yeah, I mean, given the whole thing started with the one half issue, and I guess that was a full 24 pages, but this being another 72 or whatever, I mean, it took what was a nice, to-the-point character, one that was well worth following up on. So I don't begrudge him doing that. But I really think if these three issues had been condensed down to either a single 24-page story or go with what I had mentioned last episode on another twist they could do, but it could have been as tight of a story as the first one was and worked better as a sequel to that, whereas it almost felt like it was belaboring the point at times. Not quite. I mean, it wasn't to that point, but it just felt, well, we've talked about this before. Astro City, I think, works best when it's a get in, do an examination of an area, and get out, and not lingering too long on something.
Okay, you said that last time, and I kind of saved this to, I don't want to say saved it, but you triggered me at that point, and I wanted to use that in our wrap-up. The more that I think about it, because we talked about the Dark Ages, we talked about Brothers, we talked about this story here particularly, and I think Astro City is at its peak, at its best, with the newness and sampling and showing you a different perspective and a different character, and then, like you said, dipping in and dipping out, that's where the magic happens. And any time that we spend way too much time in there, I feel like I don't know if it's his writing style, but it feels like the story gets a little bogged down and I lose interest in the characters or I lose interest in what's going on and I'm ready for the next new thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally does. Let's compare our reactions to the two brothers from the Dark Ages.
Charles and Royal.
Those two and Steeljack.
Yep.
That I think we both felt were not bad characters, but it's just enough already. Let's move on.
Yep.
And let's compare those to our reactions to Samaritan and Jack in a Box.
Very different.
Because those two show up a ton over the course of the series.
They do.
But usually in bits and pieces. We'll get an episode or an issue focusing on them or a two-parter or something like that. But then we'll move on to something else. We'll see them in the background. And we're constantly aware of them, but we're not constantly harping on them as the story goes.
Yeah, it's almost like Spider-Man and Superman are very large characters from Marvel and DC. Mm-hmm. And that's the analogs there, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like you said, they're in the background. And even when we dealt with Jack in the Box, we spent a lot of time with him, it was more to show us different characters who had played as Jack in the Box in Astro City. Because he didn't live forever, you know, he aged, of course. Mm-hmm. He was a normal guy, unlike Samaritan, who has godlike powers, essentially Superman. So it was, even though we were focusing on the different people versus the same guy and his issues, and then he would pop up from time to time as like a background character. And Samaritan had always lived large, but he kind of shows up as like the all-powerful fatherly figure, the guidance, the moral mm-hmm. compass, folds his arms, hello, good job, thank you, flies away. That goes about his business. And with that, you're just like, oh, there's Samaritan. You get all excited, but he's not spending 5, 6, 7, 8 issues just going on and on and on and on about him, because I think we would get bored if we had that.
I think with Jack in a Box, if you took out the issues that were solely focused on the legacy of the Jack in a Box characters.
Yes.
We still saw the character enough throughout the others that we'd have recognized him as the Spider-Man type and just not known really who he was, but still probably kind of liked him.
Yeah.
Maybe not big fans of him because there wouldn't have been a whole lot to go on, but still. Whereas if you take out the Dark Ages, those brothers don't show up anywhere else, I think.
They don't. They really don't.
You take out the 10 issues of Steeljack across the two stories, and he really doesn't show up anywhere else. So there's a difference of world building and exploration of the world and stuff versus... And that's not to say every character we see had to show up in backgrounds of other stories or whatnot. But I guess I felt revisiting Mike here was worth doing. It wasn't worth doing for the 3 issues we got.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have seen him in the background a few other places of they steer somebody towards the support group, which they had kind of hinted at was being done.
Yeah, for sure. I know exactly what you mean. Another common thread that I saw through all of the Astro City stuff, and it's Kurt Busiek's book. He created this.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he writes a lot about things that he's passionate about, which is relevant to him and not so much me. And I'm assuming you. And that's an assumption on my part. But you can tell that he was like a baby boomer flower child. He probably went to Woodstock. You get that from reading his stories.
There are a few things where he's noticeably about a decade older than us, at least in influences, if not in actual age.
Correct. And I think he has good memories. Maybe that's what he did. You know, the protesting, whether it's the absentee parent who was a protester that we read last time, or whether it's the stories of the people, they're always going back to those same types of things, because I think that was a very powerful part of Kurt Busiek's life and growing up and experience. And so he kept writing that into the book. And for me, I'm just like, I don't want to say I don't care, but it's not as impactful on me because it's not as relevant. I know about that stuff, but I don't connect to it, if that makes sense.
No, I totally get it. It reminds me of something I'd heard about kind of part of the gestation of Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
And that it was Mark Waid and Alex Ross were just different enough in age that some of the characters that Mark Waid thought were canonical, dyed-in-the-wool, must-have Justice Leaguers in the set that Alex Ross considered for that weren't the same.
Yeah.
I mean, there was heavy, heavy overlap, but I think the big difference would have been Martian Manhunter and such.
Yeah.
When I first started reading the Justice League, he was nowhere to be found until suddenly he was there in a mainstay.
And you're like, what?
But he'd just been gone for a while when I started reading.
Yeah.
So I think there's some of that with Kurt Busiek, particularly in this series where so much of it is referential and inspired by so many different things that while there's a huge heavy overlap with the stuff we're familiar with, there's also a definite chunk that we're not familiar with.
Correct. Yeah. If I had to hear about the protests, and I'm not put off by anything like that, I don't want it to come off as that way, but I'm just like, you could tell he was very passionate about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, and it's tough, like, if you're passionate about the Humane Society because you had a dog that you loved, you adopted from there, and I'm not a pet person, which is actually the flip opposite. I'm the animal person. Right, you don't have right. any pets. Me telling hundreds of stories about the bonding with this pet that was found on the streets, maybe you're not the best person that's going to connect to that story. People who are pet people are going to be like, oh my goodness, that was so touching, so wonderful. And if I told the same type of story with maybe something that was a little more relatable to you, you might all of a sudden be like, that's a great story because he talked about this guy's little niece or nephew
mm-hmm.
that he really loved and how he bonded with them and how they looked up to him almost like a second dad because he was there to go to his graduation and things like that. But I flip it to an animal and it's okay, that's not really my vibe, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that what people will take out of Astro City is going to be different depending on the age bracket you're in.
Correct. I think my parents probably would have been like, oh yeah, they could have reminisced about some of his memories when he looks back in time. And it's just a testament to the age difference between me and Kurt Busiek. But at the same time, I was able to enjoy it for what it was. I think the only thing I really didn't enjoy was when he was going back to those weird musicians.
Speaking of that, I did have one question about this issue that brings up.
Yeah, what's that?
When Mike goes out into the alleyway and sees the broken man,
mm-hmm.
the final line there really summed up my thought on the page, and it's, quote, "And I had no idea what that was all about."
I was thinking the same thing. I had that as a note to bring it up with it. He literally wrote, "I had no idea what that was about." We have no idea what the broken man is about in this comic and why he keeps popping up. I still don't know.
Well, and in this story specifically,
it makes no sense. And he brought him back again.
I know there are a lot of references and stuff that I'm missing in this series overall. And I'm sure there are the points of a couple of stories that just didn't work or didn't click with me or didn't occur to me or whatever. The broken man and the musical characters being a prime example of that.
Yeah.
But I read this page and I'm like, well, that happened. I wonder why.
I got there and I was just like, oh my God, he's back. I thought we were done with this character. And he's there in an alleyway covered up in sheets for no apparent reason asking for change.
That he then doesn't need.
Yeah. Take care, pal, and rock on. And floats away.
Yeah.
Bizarre. I don't know why you even drew those pages or put it in there.
I'm sure there was a reason, but it eludes me.
It eludes me too.
The other thing I want to point out is the newscast on the final page
yeah.
about the enforcer pilot or former pilot and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that may have been setting up the graphic novel they were going to do.
Oh, okay. So that was like the little boom, we're going to be going off, and then you follow up with a graphic novel that never came.
Because the whole idea was this was going to stop and they were going to do a series of original graphic novels.
I remember that.
Now, that didn't happen for a couple of reasons. One of which was, and this is all in the letter page to the That Was Then special, but
yeah.
It's relevant now, so I'll tell you. The contract they had seemed to preclude doing original graphic novels for some reason.
Yep.
Don't know how or why.
No.
The editor they were dealing with left DC, Vertigo shut down, DC reorged a few times, and they decided, well, let's just move back to Image.
Yeah, they're like DC merged with AT&T, all kinds of stuff was going on. And so, yeah, they took it all back to Image and just kind of put everything on pause.
Now, why they didn't do graphic novels over Image, I don't know.
Yep.
But
that would have been a natural, that's what they do over at Image.
Yeah, because this issue, 52, ended this run in June 17th, 2018. It took until March 30th of 2022 for the That Was Then special to come out. That's a pretty big gap.
Yeah. I remember when I got to the section, I was kind of reading the sections, that last page, and it's like, when do we get more stories? And it's like, just as soon as we can, trust me, we're working on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they were doing something, and I know they had good intentions, but the only thing I can assume is life happens, and unless we get a script or an alter ego story that comes out one day. We'll never know why those things never saw the light of day.
There was a little more that was in the That Was Then special text page.
Yeah.
They were going to do another original graphic novel, The Gods on Sunday Morning.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to come out years ago.
Yep.
Hasn't been released. I did some digging, and about 2 years ago, Kurt Busiek said on Reddit, no, it's not out yet. It'll be resolicited when, quote, the writer is more functional, my quotes. So I did a little more digging on that, and because somebody else on Reddit asked him about the Autumnland stuff he did.
Yeah.
And would it continue? And he's like, well, someday we hope. There's two more issues drawn, but until we figure out how to stop Kurt Busiek's interminable migraine, he's not much good as a writer.
Wow.
So it seems like he's having some health issues that are kind of preventing him from getting the clarity and focus he needs to do some of the stories.
Wow. What did you think of the idea they had there where they're talking about the TV show?
I think it could be wonderful if done right, but I think this is an anthology property, and doing an anthology TV show like that could be a hard sell.
I do too. I think the way the Astro City is set up, it would have to be a completely, it couldn't be based on Astro City, these stories, because every episode being different characters dipping in and out, I don't know how that would resonate with adults or kids if it was animated. I just don't think it would.
I would do it as an animated feature because you've got, again, some characters like Samaritan and Jack in a Box that show out across the run. And I think it'd be easier to get people to do the voice work for all of that, because particularly if you do it literally based on the comics, you've got all the dialogue. You can get all the recording done up front if you need to.
Yeah, you really could.
Whereas if you're doing it live action, you cast so-and-so as Samaritan, are you going to really be able to keep getting him back every time you need him?
Probably not. It's kind of like the Homelander and the Boys, or Wolverine. People get older.
Yeah, that whole aging thing sucks, doesn't it?
Wolverine with his healing power, why do you look 15 years older? Stuff happens, so with live actors.
Yeah.
And until AI takes over, they all stay the same age. We'll see.
Give it time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, shall we bounce over to the That Was Then special?
Yeah, we kind of read the recap page. What did you think of this?
I really enjoyed this. I hadn't reread it since it came out a couple of years back.
Yeah, it was a passing of the torch type thing.
Kind of, sort of. It reminded me a lot. I mean, it is so clearly harkening back to the new Teen Titans that it's not even funny.
Yes.
I mean, specifically the Tales of the New Teen Titans miniseries where they go camping out in the Grand Canyon.
There you go.
And some of the characters who get, I mean, Bugle Boy and Majorette, kind of sort of Robin and Batgirl. Sunstrike, similar to Starfire. Rivets, the Robot Kid, kind of like Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
Rally, I really don't know what his powers or his deal is, even after having reread the whole issue. Maybe Kid Flash, maybe not. And then we get the Jayhawks. Buster kind of reminded me a little of Mal Duncan. A Teen Genie, kind of sort of Raven with the mystical stuff. Beach Boy and the Water Powers, kind of sort of Aqualad. So it was evocative of, but not just a repaint of those characters.
Yeah.
But the whole bit of the stuff set back in the day with them trying to, the surviving ones, get over the death of the Jayhawks.
Yep.
Which really kind of shook them to their core. And then it cuts to present day with the Samaritan kind of worried about how a lot of the older heroes have retired and he thinks something dark's coming. And then we get the Ghost of the Jayhawks kind of wanting to help somehow. It's like this was clearly setting stuff up.
That's how I felt.
And then nothing.
Exactly. It felt like this was a passing of the torch, almost to set up like you said, a Teen Titans type group to be maybe one of those graphic novels or something like that. Hey, this is my version of the Teen Titans in Astro City. And then, yeah, it's just gone. The little ghost watching them kind of fly off. When I first saw them sitting in the desert, I was like, hey, these guys are by themselves, kind of just hanging out, relaxing and talking, decompressing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is he wearing a helmet? Why are they wearing their mask? And lo and behold, everyone keeps interrupting. But I kept on saying, why are they dressed like this? Well, take off the mask. Take off the helmet. Why are you wearing all this stuff? But that was hilarious.
Rally actually has his mask down.
Yes, that's true.
It's only really Bugle Boy and Majorette that have their masks still on.
Correct.
And if you go with their kind of the Robin and Batgirl types, that would kind of make sense.
Yeah. Secretive even to the group.
But, I mean, really, with their costumes, they almost look like the sidekicks from Space Ghost.
They really do, now that you say it.
It's the masks that do it.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. But, I mean, honestly, it felt like a setup issue to kick something off. And with them saying new content's coming out, TV series, a possibility, this, that, Omnibuy, Metro Books, the only thing we saw out of all the stuff that they've talked about is the Metro Books, which is sad because they even say that we're working on it now.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're liars. I think they started working on something and then stuff happened. And with all the stuff.
The first words on the text page is, and we're back.
Yeah.
And they're gone again.
Yeah. They turn into the ghost on that last page.
Yeah. Again, I really enjoyed this. I like the Teen Titans. So getting the spin on it here seemed like a lot of fun. Getting the promise that this is only the beginning of what we're going to get with the Jayhawks. There's more coming. That was cool.
Yeah, I felt like this was a passing of the torch to a new group. And maybe we could even decompress and show the backgrounds of these characters, how they developed their powers or what they did before coming to the group. And that could be like its own little graphic novel. Each one of the characters, their little background and coming together, you know, getting the band together type thing.
I don't know if I saw it so much as a passing of a torch, but certainly a turning of a corner, because particularly with the way Samaritan was saying, we need a new plan, something's got to change, and kind of we need new heroes.
Yeah, it's true, because you remember we saw the bar in Astro City with all the, I don't want to say washed up, but the retired superheroes, mm-hmm. You know? Like the train guy, I can't remember their name.
Locomotive or whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the train person's name was. But it was all those guys, and they would hang out and kind of reminisce, and they're too old to do this anymore, and just the good old days, and blah, blah, blah. You know, like the VFW, essentially, versus active duty soldiers, people who were there in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of cool seeing that, and this was going to be the turning of the page or something new, and we're back, and then we're gone. Grand opening, grand closing.
Yeah, this could have been the prelude to another solid run of monthly issues. Obviously, it was not.
Correct. And the issue itself was good. It was just, it left you a little bit, because we know at this point there's nothing more.
Yeah. Again, I really enjoyed it, but to your point, it was set up and to nothing.
Yeah, which is a little bit sad. And I know they didn't have that intention. I know they didn't.
No, they clearly did not, but it's what happened.
Yeah. Honestly, with Astro City, I've had a lot of things in here that I really, really love. There was some stuff that was just amazing. You know, from that first issue with seeing Samaritan
mm-hmm.
flying through the city and dealing with the stress, to seeing cartoon characters, to seeing so many different things, so many different venues, so many different characters. And it's so fleshed out and so realized. And it's kind of like an homage to Marvel and DC mishmashed together in Kurt's own little world. And I'm thankful we got it. It's kind of cool and it's different. If you're looking for superheroes beating each other up.
If you're looking for the slugfest, this isn't that.
It's never going to be that. This is the deeper behind the scenes, the showing people who are the background characters, typically with the heroes being the window dressing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you go into it knowing that, you can really appreciate what they're doing here.
Yeah. I don't think everybody's necessarily going to love it, but if you go in looking for the right thing, in other words, again, if you're expecting it to be an event comic like a Marvel or DC thing or nonstop action or something like that, it is not that. It is character pieces. It is exploring what living in a superhero universe could be like.
Yeah.
And it definitely has a lot of homages and references to Marvel, DC, and some other stuff.
I am thankful that we read it, and I'm glad we read it together because you and I go to the book club that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time, but we do it probably at least once a month. We're doing a book club. But this is you and I doing this. I felt like it was our little two-person book club journey with Astro City, and we're also doing it with the Warlord. And it's just been kind of fun reading it with a friend versus reading it alone is, I don't want to say it sounds kind of funny, a lonely endeavor, but it's a different experience.
It's a very different experience because we'll talk on some of these things and you'll have picked something out of the story that I missed or never occurred to me or what have you. And that gives me even more to reflect on than just the story.
Yeah. So it's really cool. I mean, and we're so different, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
When I read the bit last time and it was on the animal and the dog, the Corey die, I was just like distraught because my cat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's gut wrenching. But on the flip side, if you don't have that connection, it's different. It's a different read. But I was able to share that with you and So you see where I'm coming from. And sometimes things like, I kind of guessed it was Teen Titans, but you going into the Teen Titans in this, I didn't know anything about the Grand Canyon. It just gives it different levels. And if you read it on your own, you don't get it.
Yeah. Well, everybody comes into stories bringing their own baggage and stuff. And that's where I think book clubs and stuff like that are so much fun, because somebody will either have different baggage than you, or a different frame of reference, a different angle looking at it, or just different knowledge, and be able to shine a light on the story, whether you agree with their take or not, that puts things into a different perspective for you.
Yeah.
And you may take it and say, ah, they're ignorant, they don't know what they're talking about, or it may completely blow your mind and reshape how you think of the work.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where I've had a lot of fun with you being your co-host, because your comics knowledge is way more in-depth and your memory is way better than mine. You give me so much on the DC side, and you give me a lot of a good helping of stuff on the Marvel side that I'm thankful for it, that you picked me to be your co-host. It's made it more enjoyable for me.
I have a ton of fun with these discussions, so I'm really enjoying it too.
Yeah, but it's bittersweet that we had this fun together, but that knowing that it's coming to a close as far as Astro City, this is it. Before we close it all up, what do you think of that Comics for Ukraine or whatever it was called?
The 8 pages in the Comics for Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, how was that? What was it?
Well, first off, what it was is it was a crowdfunding campaign done in 2022. I think it came out around August 24th of that year to support the relief efforts for Ukraine.
Okay.
And for those who are listening to this far, far in the future, the war in Ukraine, Russia invaded, it was supposed to last a weekend and be over. Spoiler, it didn't. Well, it did start, it just didn't finish, as we record this at least. Now, the format of this, first off, it is an 8-inch by 12-inch kind of thing, so it's much, much taller than your average comic. It's honestly an odd size for a project. It's perfect bounce, it's got that square binding that I really hate, honestly. And it's about, I want to say, 80 or more pages. I honestly don't remember how many pages this was.
Okay.
It's at least 114, according to the table of contents. It has a ton of stuff in it beyond just the 8 or so pages of Astro City. There is a Usagi Yojimbo story, a Gru story, a Chu story, a Rocketeer story, an American Flag story, a Grendel story.
Wow.
Star Slammers. I mean, there's a ton of stuff. A lot of big name, recognizable creators on this. So I appreciate them putting this together. I honestly think they could have done a better job at the time promoting it, because I certainly don't remember this coming out at the time. But it was, I believe originally, I don't know if it was originally, but it is available on Zoop, Zoop.gg, and they have different covers and versions of it. I think there's even a hardcover version. I got the soft cover because even that was $40 plus $11 shipping, so not cheap, but
no.
Final 8 pages of Astro City, I was certainly curious.
Yeah, definitely.
The basic story is there's a section in Astro City called the Harlow Blocks.
Okay.
It was named for the area around Harlow Park at the center, and there's a restaurant area, some shopping, all that kind of a thing. It was the big fancy place at one point back in like the 1800s, but over the decades, it became more towards the middle class, lower class, whatever. Well, at one point, and I can't tell quite when this story was, actually, this is set in 1976, according to the Astro City Rocket headline that's there. There was a truck carrying something heading for the Energy Logistics, which is the company behind the Enforcer character, so the Iron Man type.
Okay.
With exotic material, something goes wrong, blows up the bridge, and causes a containment field flux. So remember the, I think it was the Oblivion Song story that Kirkman did?
Yeah.
Where somebody was rescuing people from this trapped part of Philadelphia or whatever?
Yeah. I remember that.
So you've got this one section of Astro City. They've got this dimensional breach in it where these big ogre-like monsters or whatever come out periodically and attack.
Okay.
Somehow an energy field gets around that section of town. And, of course, there's speculation of, oh, well, they just sealed it off so they don't have to deal with the riffraff. But, you know, we don't really know. The only hero that was inside is apparently a celebrity superhero of Johnny Crash. And the people outside can kind of sort of but not totally see through the barrier at times. So they're not entirely sure what's going on. They know there's the fighting and the attacks and all that. They know Johnny Crash is trying to save everybody. And we see one of the battles go. And then at the end, it kind of pulls out of that back to the Astro City rocket, the newspaper headquarters, with somebody asking, okay, how's that story going? And that somebody, I think, is Elliot Mills from Astro City number 2 of the miniseries.
Oh, okay, okay. I remember a reporter. I would not have remembered the name.
I checked. But he's, I guess, the editor at this point. And the reporter's like, well, it's coming fine. I just don't know how to end the story. There's no ending, which, of course, is part of the bit of the war.
All right.
So I thought it was good. Is it essential reading? No. Is it something that could really be a fun thing to see explored later? Absolutely. Do I think we will?
Probably not.
No more or less so than I think we're going to get any other Astro City.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll be the first story they go back to.
Yeah.
So I liked it. Was it worth the $51? I don't regret paying for it.
Okay, well, that's good.
But
you wouldn't recommend someone else drop $50 on it?
Not for just the one story.
Yeah, maybe if they got something out of the other things that were there.
Because, I mean, I haven't read all of the others, but like one of the other ones was a Usagi Yojimbo story. And there was a line in there that really kind of stuck with me, because it's after a big battle and stuff. And one of the guys is, peasant, why aren't you celebrating our victory? The guy's like, victory? Victory is for warriors. Us locals, all we have is losses. Our place is totaled. And it really puts things into a perspective of whether you guys win or lose, we lost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, most of these stories are of the war as hell variety, as should be expected.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Nobody's going to do one of these saying, oh, isn't it great? We're fighting a war we don't want. Oh, I mean, come on. So, definitely, and I don't mind supporting the cause. I'm very much kind of against wars, particularly those inflicted on a nation through no fault of their own, other than them being where they were. Not that I'm up on all the politics and all that stuff of what caused the war, nor do I particularly care. I don't think people should be subjected to war where they're living.
Yeah, war is not good.
Yeah, if you find some barren planet and you want to go fight there, have at it. But I thought the whole concept of how he inserted a warlike situation into Astro City worked, both in terms of an analogy or whatever towards the Ukraine situation, but also just in the Astro City context.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got it, and I'm glad you didn't feel like it was a waste of time and money. Sometimes if you get a really small page count like that, and especially with the price you paid, you're going to be like a little bit jaded. That was it. But also you got closure at completion. You've read it all, everything that there is that's put out for Astro City.
Yes.
And I'm glad you made the sacrifice for me.
It wasn't much of a sacrifice. It was more than I would have liked to have paid. Absolutely. But again, I don't mind supporting that kind of a project.
Yeah.
Again, the list of creators on this: Art Adams, Sergio Aragones, Howard Chaykin, Colleen Duran, Mark Evanier, Joe Jusko, Linsner, Stan Sakai, Sinkovich, Louis Simonson, Walter Simonson, Billy Tucci, Matt Wagner, Mark Wade. I mean, they got some really big name writers and artists on this.
Very cool. All right. So, that's really, really cool. And that kind of was the capstone for everything that we've read at Astro City.
Yeah, that's all he wrote at this point that we've seen done. Maybe he's written stuff he's sitting on.
You're feeling good? You're happy? And you wish we had more, but you feel content?
I'm happy with what we got. There were only a few things here and there that I think we both didn't like.
Yeah, there was a few, but not many.
And what's ironic, I think both of the stories that we really were repelled by were featuring female reporters a la a almost evil Lois Lane.
Yeah, yeah. I remember those stories. Not in a good way.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny that was the archetype or whatever he was going on that just didn't work for us.
Yeah.
But overall, I really enjoyed revisiting all the Astro City stuff. I think it's a terrific series. I would certainly like to see more of it, but I guess until Kurt Busiek's health is in better shape, that's just not going to happen. And I think even once he's feeling better, it seems like that Gods on Sunday Morning graphic novel is in front of this. It sounds like they had started the Enforcer graphic novel, but paused when they realized the contractual problems.
Yeah.
I just hope they've already cleared up the contractual and business hurdles, and it's just a matter of Kurt getting better and Brent finding the time to do whatever art needs to be done. Because I do want to see more of this.
I would agree.
But if we don't, they should be proud of what they've done.
I agree. One thing I wanted to throw out there before we closed, you guys don't have to spend a lot of money to read Astro City. If you are a member of Global Comics, which around the holidays, you and I both jumped on Global Comics for digital comics for $49.99 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
All six of the Metro books are on there, and they're free with the gold.
And if you prefer print, those Metro books are only, what, $35 a piece?
Yeah, they're not expensive, so you can read the stuff and physically have it pretty inexpensive. There may be an omnibus one day, but if you want to sample it, just because it is so different than a typical superheroes comic, go into Global Comics. And by the way, a lot of the Image stuff is on there, included in the gold package. So I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, yeah. And this is one that I think if you're a big superhero fan, it's worth checking out because it's evocative of a lot of Marvel and DC stuff, but looking at it from different lenses and angles.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Glad we did it, and hope you had fun. I had fun.
Yeah, and I'll hold out hope that someday we'll be able to unretire the series of episodes and have enough material to do at least an Astro City Spotlight number 31, possibly more, but we may be in the retirement home by the time that happens.
Exactly. Hey, if we're retired and retired from podcasting, give me a call. We'll do a special episode, if you still remember how, on the new, look at this new Astro City. This is great.
Unless AI's took it over and done it for us already.
Exactly. Did the recording. Sounds like our voices. Very cool.
I'm sure somebody could do that today, much less by the time we'd get enough material of Astro City to do another episode. But
yeah,
again, I hold out hope for that, but I'm certainly not going to hold my breath.
Me neither. I don't think we'd last long.
And I hope the listeners have enjoyed this in-depth look over the entire run of Astro City over these 30 episodes. The other possibility for an episode 31 is if we actually got some good questions and could do an episode on that.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool.
Anything else?
No, that does it for me.
Cool. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, forum, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayall. And thanks again for listening.